I really do feel like guys who have a lot of one-night stands, they really just don't care if you come or not. And like, then you just feel like you wasted like a whole night, you know, like courting this gentleman, bringing him to your quarters, and then nothing.
Picky, it's your mother. No, you never call me. I mean, I wonder, is your finger broken?
Just don't tell my mother.
It's your mother.
Mother.
No, you never call me.
Just don't tell my mother. Just don't.
Where the hell are you? You are never home.
Hello, my family. I'm your host, Nikki Levy, and welcome back to Don't Tell My Mother, where awesome humans tell true stories they'd never want their moms to know. And then they tell their moms, because life is short and honesty feels good. We have an amazing guest today. She is starring in India Sweets and Spices, premiering at the Tribeca Film Festival on June 12th. And she's starring in the film Uncharted opposite sexy Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg, premiering next year. But you guys already know her because she plays Fatten in the hit Amazon series The Wilds. Sophia Ali is here. She's coming to us from across the globe with a hilarious story about condoms and what happens when your mother teaches you how to use them. Guys, here's Sophia Ali right after this.
Just don't tell my mother.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Sophia.
Hi.
We fucked up on the time change, didn't we?
Oh, man. No, I didn't think about it. No one thought about it. You know what? It's no one's fault. It's my fault.
Nothing's your fault. Where are you coming from since nobody's coming from LA anymore?
I am in Sydney right now.
Oh, my God. You're down under. What are you doing in Sydney?
I'm shooting The Wilds.
You're shooting The Wilds. The sequel.
The sequel. The second season. I'm so excited, though. I'm really, really, really excited.
The Wilds, for anyone who doesn't know, it's like, I kind of think of it as like a feminist Lost meets like Gossip Girl or Pretty Little Liars, maybe. Kind of.
Yeah, that's awesome.
This show is so fun. And you play this teenager named Fatten.
Yes.
Fatten is Muslim. She loves sex. Mm-hmm. She loves sexy clothes. She doesn't like to get her hands dirty. Mm-mm. Is this anything like Sophia or a complete fabrication?
This is the thing about Fatten, is that she doesn't like to be uncomfortable. And I've adopted that into my life. And I feel like Fatten's taught me that, you know, to do what I want more.
We should all do a little more of what we actually want and what's actually comfortable to us. Hell yeah. Well, the show is super angsty and, you know, emotional. Were you like that as a teenager? Like pretty like, you know, emotions everywhere, all that stuff.
Yeah, I was super, super emotional. Everything like hit me hard.
Yeah.
But I also feel like there was a lot of times where I had to be very, like, adult when I didn't want to be, you know?
Like what?
I don't know. It's sort of hard to say. Like, I'm the oldest child. Mm-hmm. I have two younger brothers. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously my parents were around, but I still feel like I had to take care of them in a lot of ways. And totally. I still do. And I think that, like, yeah, I don't figure out how to, like, compartmentalize.
What's an example of how you've, you know, compartmentalized something?
I did this thing one time when I was on set, and I realized this is sort of like a verbalized version of what I do normally when I compartmentalize.
Yeah.
Like something really bad happened. I found out some like really awful news, and I was like really, really distraught. Like I was in my trailer crying, and they were knocking, and they were like, "We got to go." And I was like, "Okay." And then I showed up, and I told the AD like the second I got out of the car, I was like, "This happened." And she was like, "I'm so sorry. They need you on set." And like, that was her. And I realized, you know, like, you're just doing your job. You know, like, it's not that you don't care about me. It's not that, you know, we're not friends. We're coworkers, you know, and we're here to do a job.
You're there to work, right?
In my mind, I was like, okay, how am I going to do this? Because what we were about to shoot was like a funny scene.
Was this on the wilds or something?
Yeah, it was just on the wilds. And so I was like, all right, you know what? I'm going to do this thing because this is important to me. Both of these things are important to me.
Yes.
And so I'm going to take this feeling that I have, and I'm just going to like pretend that it's like tangible, that I can like touch it. And then I'm just going to like put it in my bed and like leave it there. Like in my mind, I like put it back in my bed.
Like a little puppy.
Home. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I can tug it in. Like it's safe. It's sound. It's happy. It's good.
Yes.
I'm just going to leave it there until I get home and get to bed. And then I can like feel it.
Do you remember what scene that was that you were shooting?
It was the scene where I was like emceeing Rain and Helena's fight, Nora and Rachel.
Oh, yes. Is that when you were holding a toothbrush? Were you emceeing it with a toothbrush? Okay.
Yes.
I mean, you've been acting for a really long time. So this is kind of probably second nature to you.
That's where I feel like I've had to act like an adult, I think. Because when I was younger, when I was 8, you know, like I was doing Barney and like little commercials and stuff like that. And like, I did Barney and like, I feel like there was a lot of times when, you know, I would be dealing with adults and they wouldn't know how to communicate with me.
Yes.
And so I think that that's probably why. Yeah. That makes sense.
You got into Hollywood really young.
Yeah.
Your parents let you do it. Tell me what they were like. What were your parents like when you were growing up?
Both my parents were so opposite in every way. Like, because my dad is, it's funny because my dad's not even Muslim. He grew up Muslim, but he's not, he doesn't practice it anymore, you know?
Okay.
And he lived a very like not a typical Muslim's life, you know, like he went to school in America. He went to college in America, in Minnesota. That's how he met my mom. But he was a partier, you know, he was not religious, but my dad was like, you know, he wanted me to be an engineer or a doctor.
Interesting. Yeah.
And my mom was very like, she's very spiritual, you know? So she's just like loves, you know, anything to do with, the like outside of reality kind of thing. And like, that's what acting seemed like to my parents. They were like, okay, this is a cool like dream that you have, but this isn't a reality. But my mom did a lot of entertaining that. And then it sort of became one over time.
How did she help you in your career at the beginning?
Oh my God. She like would drive me to all my auditions, you know, she was learning as well as I was. So, you know, like there was things that she didn't know what to do. She figured it out. She like, you know, asked the right people, found the right people to sort of like mentor her and me in a way. And somehow she didn't become like a momager.
Yeah, you know? I'm kind of shocked.
I know, me too. I like saw it with so many of my friends' parents. Like they were child actors. Like eventually the moms would just be like wanting to control every aspect of their career and thinking that they even like deserve it, you know? But my mom's never been like that.
Did she ever try?
No. Mm-mm.
No. It's funny because after watching The Wilds, I did a Sophia Ali deep dive on Google and ended up watching your entire season arc as Dr. Kadri on Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, man.
And I felt like that was kind of like a pivotal role that you played as like this Middle Eastern woman, Middle Eastern doctor, Muslim woman, Muslim doctor.
Thank you.
Tell me about it.
You know, it's funny because that's sort of been my struggle with acting so much. Like, I struggled with this like vanity aspect of it so long. Like people sort of really emphasizing the way that you looked. And I wanted it to be more than that. I wanted it to be more important than that to me. And representation was something that was more important, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, cool. Like, I can stand for this now. This is something that is bigger than myself. And so now I don't feel so narcissistic trying to be an actor, you know? And it's been so awesome to be able to represent, because obviously, like, my family is Muslim. You know, I grew up in that environment, and I understand the struggles that they went through. I went through the same ones, not even being Muslim, you know what I mean? Like,
right. But being raised by someone.
Right. But also just looking like it. Like, you know, I have dark features. I have dark hair. You don't see me and think a white person. You think like, oh, she's something else. And then like, it's something that you don't really understand. And like, so much of wanting to be a representation is sort of like wanting to be a representation of myself. Like,
yes.
When I played Dr. Qadri, I was like, okay, I'm going to play this person who wears a hijab, but she's just going to be like me, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, she's just going to be a chill, down ass, like, type person. Mm-hmm. And then people are going to be like, oh, okay, like, this person wears a headdress, but she's just like me.
Absolutely.
Know? And I think that that's like a common misconception, you know? People think that like every Muslim person is the same and that they're very like confined or restricted by whatever, like, moral values or faith-based values. And
yeah.
I think that it's important to remember that regardless of who we are, there's always going to be those qualms between, you know, what we believe and what we want or what we value and what, you know, our desires.
Totally. Well, speaking of desires, you're going to tell a story.
Oh, yeah. Let's get there.
The story you're going to tell is about coming of age, sex, Malibu, California. Sophia, tell me everything.
This is a story about the time my mom showed me how to use a condom, and then I used that box of condoms.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So I was 14. My friends had a birthday party. They got a beach house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were having like a co-ed slumber party. And their parents were there. So it was innocent.
Enough.
Sort of.
yeah.
And my mom, you know, she drove me there and it was like an hour drive and she decided like, okay, this is your first co-ed sleepover. It's time for like the sex talk. Like, let's do the birds and the bees.
Yep.
And she pulled out a box of condoms and you know what's actually really funny that I remember is they were labeled like by the size, like small, medium, large.
Stop.
Which I think is so funny. Like, I don't know if they still do this, but imagine, like, you're about to have sex. You don't know what
Horrible.
The guy's dick looks like.
Horrible.
And you're like, okay, got a question for you.
Oh, my God.
What size condom should I pull out?
You're like door number one, number two, or number slice me in half. Yeah.
And if they don't say large, then they're like, they're going to say large regardless of what size they are.
Of course. And then it'll like fall off.
Yeah. And then you're just like, I'm sorry. I think you're small. I, even at 14, was like, this is hilarious. And she showed me how to use it on the stick shift, on the gear shift.
Is amazing.
Uh-huh. On like the and she was like, okay, you pinch the top, you know, like so that the air comes out, and then she's like slid it down, and then she like left it there for the duration of the drive too. Like it was some sort of like example of, and it made me like not want to, you know what I mean? Like I was like looking at this condom like on this gear shift, and I was just like, this isn't like attractive, you know what I mean? Like, this isn't like, this looks like a creepy, weird ghost.
Yeah, and that was probably her point. Your mom is doing aversion therapy 101.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I'm like, I just watched my mom like fondle the gear, and for some reason now I don't want to have sex. Okay. And I wasn't planning on it. Like, I was not planning on it at all. I was 14. I mean, guys weren't even on my radar. No one was on my radar. I was just, like, doing my thing. And when I got there, like, I was so excited to like, tell my friends this story because I thought it was so funny. But I didn't use them and then kept them for years and years and years. And then when I was 19, I mean, I had had sex before, like by the time I was seven, I think I lost my virginity when I was 17 and right. I was in a relationship and it was like very sweet. And we never used these condoms, probably because like we had better ones.
Because like, these your were mom like, got them. You're like, I'm like, yeah, these.
But they were also like old, you know, they were several years old at that point. So I'm 19, you know, like recently single. I had seen this guy at a party that I worked with before on another job. And we had this like flirty thing, but he had a girlfriend at the time. So it wasn't ever real. And then when I saw him, they had broken up recently. And so we were both like, very new to the dating game, you know, mm-hmm. but we knew we were into each other. And so then like, you know, I took him back home with me mm-hmm. and we were like about to have sex. And then I was like, do you have a condom? And he was like, no. And I was like, how do you not have a condom? You're a dude. Like, how do you not have a condom? But I had that box, like the only thing that I had. Was that box that my mom gave me when I was 14. And I just like, without even asking, pulled out the large.
You're like, I don't want to hurt his feelings.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to be hopeful.
Literally, like the first one we put on just pops. Like,
oh no.
Done. And we're like, this is wasted effort. And then I think we went through like the whole box until like there was one left.
Oh, God.
And I was like, I almost want to save this for, like, memory, you know? Like, I don't want to use this whole box because it's the first box that I've ever had of condoms. Like, I don't know why this is significant. Yeah, but it is. And I know it's not going to work, you know? And I'm thinking, like, cool, we tried, didn't work out. Like, some of them we would get on. And it was actually so funny because it was, like, this, like, game of like frustration. Like we probably put on like 10 condoms trying to get it to work, and like it would go on pop, or it would like go on and like slide off. Like it was like a bar of soap.
Oh my God.
In the shower, you know what I mean? Like just
whoop. Yes.
Or like it would get on and we would like finally get it on. We'd be like, yeah. And then we would like start having sex, and then like the second we would like start having sex, pop. And it'll be like, okay, well, not getting pregnant, you know?
Yeah, no, not worth it.
And so then, like, I'm ready. I'm like, okay, I'm ready to call it a night. We're good. We tried, didn't work out, whatever.
Right.
And he's like, is there a grocery store around here? And
I was like, God.
Yeah, man, there's a Vons, you know? So he walks to Vons. And at this point, like, he's gone for so long that I'm, like, hoping that he just went home, you know?
Yeah, the moment is past.
Like, I start doing dishes. Like, oh my God. I start doing the fucking dishes, you know? Like, he comes back, and I'm like, oh, we're still doing this.
Oh, my God.
Okay. And so then, and now I'm like, at this point, it's just this guy and his dick because, and I was so new to the whole, like, this was the first time I think I had had casual sex with anyone, you know?
Okay.
So, like, I wasn't sure even if he had a big dick relatively, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I hadn't been with very many men at that point.
Yeah.
You know, he just had, like, a massive dick. He got, like, a box of Trojans, like, a big, huge, like, pack of Trojans. There was, like, 20 condoms in there. And we ripped through all of those.
You had
all of them.
Wait, can you just explain this to me, please? I'm clearly not having enough sex in quarantine. Please explain this to me.
Like, I don't think he ever used them. Like, and it wasn't like I didn't know how to put on a condom. Obviously, I knew how to put on a condom.
Yeah,
my mom taught me when I was 14. Exactly. And like, I had a boyfriend for like 3 years, and we always used a condom, you know? Like,
yes.
I mean, granted, he would put it on most of the time. Like, I don't think I ever was the person who did it, who, like, dressed the dick.
Right.
But
dressed the dick.
But like this time I was like, let me try. Cause like clearly you're not doing something right.
Yeah. My mother taught me.
Yeah. And like these would last a little bit longer, but they would still just break. And then like my bed broke. We were like going at it so much. And I had the bed like propped up just on the bed frame, you know, like it wasn't like properly secured. So it just like slid into the bed frame. Like we're like having sex. We're like humping and then boom, it just like sinks down to the floor. And I'm just like, okay, this is, yeah, the mattress. And I'm like, this is like, the sex gods are telling us this isn't going to work out. Like there's something. But he was so determined, man. He like got off the bed, like got these like wooden planks that I had and like secured the bed into the frame. And this is like hours now. And I'm like, it's like 2 a.m.
He's like nailing you and then nailing the bed.
Yeah, exactly.
This guy has focus.
He was like determined. And I think that like in his mind, he was like, no, this is like something that I want to do. And like, I'm just not going to like leave here without doing it.
I don't know if I respect or fear this guy, but it's definitely one or the other or both. Jesus.
I know. And I think that like, he just didn't understand. Like, cause if you think about it now, I've had enough casual sex to know like how really invested these guys are. And they're not invested at all. Like they really, they don't care whether they come. They don't care whether you come. They really don't. They're just like doing it and then like, bye. Right. And that's fine with me. I mean, no, it's not. I'd rather a guy care that I came, but
yep, that's the very least they can do.
But that's the whole like trial and error type thing. Like you try it out, it doesn't work, then you like move on.
Yeah.
If it does, then you stay,
and,
you know?
And it's a good test, you know? Are you invested in my pleasure?
And yeah. And I think that that was his mentality because he had been in such a long-term relationship that it was like, well, no, like we just do keep trying until it happens. Like I'm not just going to give up.
So he wanted you to orgasm as much as he wanted to.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay. Can I just ask you, because I would be chafed at this point, were you even turned on anymore or were you just like, I want to go to sleep?
Oh, no, my vagina. And like this guy had a massive penis. You know this. Like I already, there was one point where I was just like, okay, look, you know what? I respect your tenacity, but like I cannot receive you anymore.
Oh,
like,
God.
He was just like, all right. And then he left and then like he took his box of condoms, you know, like. I don't know how many we ripped through, but a lot of them. I think he only had like 5 left. We never had sex again.
I mean, look, this guy sounds like he makes a good boyfriend. He really gives it the college try.
Well, he's like, I don't know if he's married, but he has a kid now.
Yes, I'm sure he does.
With his girl that he was with before when we met. Yeah, I'm sure.
So he got back with the woman?
So he got back together. Yeah, he got back together with his ex.
Damn.
And like they're like super happy now. And I'm super happy for them.
I mean, she's a bigger man than I, so to speak. Do you still have the final condom or the box?
I do still have the final condom. Do I have it? Did I bring it?
Did you bring it to Australia?
Let me see. Because I have this box of sex things.
I'm going to drop dead if you have this condom from like, I don't even know, like
Y2K. Oh my God. Because like, look, I also have these like.
Sophia is legit rummaging through a sex box right now.
I do have it.
Sophia, are you serious?
Yes.
What? That looks like 112 years old.
Right? And it's like green and like.
That's crazy. What brand is that? I don't even recognize it.
Right? Like some random brand. And then I have like all of these like gels for like this clitoral jolt gel. This is for masturbating.
Ooh, that sounds great.
Oh, it's great. It's so great.
I just love that you have this. And by the way, apropos of nothing, sometimes it's just better to masturbate than have to like bring someone else in. And then you're just like, oh, it's so much work and you have to clean up. And it's like a lot.
I've definitely learned that over the days. Like, it's just way easier to masturbate than. Plus, like, I really do feel like guys who are very who have a lot of one night stands, they really just don't care if you come or not. And like, then you just feel like you wasted like a whole night, you know, like courting this gentleman and then like bringing him to your quarters and then, and like nothing. Then you still end up having to like masturbate at the end.
If you want to get the job done right, do it yourself.
Yeah.
Does your mother, do you think your mother remembers that she gave you this box of condoms when you were 14 years old?
I have no idea. We've never talked about it.
Would you see if she remembered it? Would you be open
to it? Yeah, I would love to see if she remembers it.
Let's call your mother.
Hi. Hi, Mom. How's it going?
Hi, Mom.
Hi.
What should I call you?
Brooke.
Hi, Brooke.
Hi. How are you guys?
How's it going?
Good. Did you see my text I sent you earlier?
No. What is this?
Sophia's journal?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's from 2004.
What? Oh, my God. What is it? Like, I don't even remember this.
It is the cutest thing.
Mom, this is embarrassing. What is it? What is it?
It's your journal. You had to write in, I think, almost every day for school.
Oh.
Are you reading Sophia's journal?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But it was, it was from 2004. So she was like 8.
And how long have you held on to this secret journal?
I was just cleaning out some cupboards.
This is perfect because I just told like the dirtiest story. Now she's like, I'm holding this journal of yours when you were 8 years old. Like how sweet and
I'm dead.
Pure.
I'm dead.
Stories in it. I'm like, wow.
Mom, Sophia told me a story today that I don't know if you remember this part of her birds and the bees education.
Mom, do you remember when I had that like birthday party at the beach and it was co-ed and you were like, I'm going to show you how to use a condom. And you like showed me how to use it on like the gear shift of the car when you were like driving me to the birthday party.
I vaguely remember that. Oh my God. That sounds, it's so typical, something I would do too. Just like,
and you were like, you have to pinch the top. Yes. You were literally like on the shit on like the gear shift. You had to pinch the top and like slide it down.
Yes,
you remember that?
Did I scar you for life?
No.
I think you helped her for life.
Yeah, you did. You did. You helped. Well, I mean, not that much, clearly.
What was your like thinking when you decided to show her that? Was it to be for her to be safe? Was it what was your, do you remember what you were thinking about?
I think that it's just important to not be uncomfortable about talking about stuff like that. And I just wanted her to always feel like she could go to me for anything. I'd much rather her be safe, you know, and know what to do rather than be caught somewhere not knowing, you know, how to deal with it.
I think that's very cool. Did you ever tell your mother anytime that you, like the first time you had sex, did you share that with your mom or no?
Talking to her about sex has never been like a thing. Mm. Even if I told her about like the first time, I'm sure I did, but like, it's not something that would stick out in my brain, you know? Did I?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember finding like a bunch of condoms that I hadn't given.
Oh my God.
Okay, I guess that's happening now.
Oh my God. Was it the ones you gave her, though? That's the question.
A huge box.
Brooke, do you know that Sophia still has the final condom from the box you gave her when she was 14?
Oh my gosh.
Please show your mother. What? It's this crazy.
Are you kidding me?
Because she loves you. Because she loves you.
Is it cracked?
It's nasty. It's like so not. It's just like discolored and like.
Oh my gosh.
It's like some random brand too. Like,
I don't remember where I got those.
Mom, they were labeled. Like they're like labeled small, medium, expired. Oh yeah, these are expired.
Well, God, yes.
I wonder how long they actually last.
Oh yeah, they don't last.
Look, how did you learn to be so open as a parent? Is this something that you learned from your own mother? Is this the opposite of what you learned?
It's the opposite. really.
Okay.
I mean, my mom was a nurse, so she was never prude about anything, really. But I just always, I don't know, I always felt like I wanted to be transparent with my kids and just that they could say anything, we could talk about anything. Like when Sophia was born, my nephews both wanted to be doctors. And so I said, oh, you guys should come for the birth. And so we got a room that had a hot tub in it.
It's amazing.
My nephew sat in the hot tub and watched the birth. Well, I don't, like, they didn't last the whole time because I think it was so traumatic on them. And neither of them have become doctors.
My mom does a really good job at, like, ending sort of like the childhood, like, this is nice because I wonder what it's like. Like,
what? How else has she done that?
When she was showing me how to use a condom, yes. Like, I described earlier, I was like, it made me like not want to have sex because I'm like staring at this like dressed like gear shift. And like, this is not like an attractive image. You know what I mean? Like, definitely, like, it just made sex not like a interesting thing. I want to try it and see what it's about, you know?
Yeah, it's like mom approved. So it's no longer like badass and cool. Well, I like to end every show with my guest and their mom saying what they love most about each other. I'm sure there are many things. But Sophia, what do you love most about mom? And then mom, what do you love most about Sophia?
The thing that I love most about my mom is that there's like no limit to what she's capable of, you know? Like,
wow.
She's reached like so many walls and blockades in her life and obstacles. And I feel like, you know, as much as it's frustrating, like in the moment, you know, she's very much like, I'm going to build a bridge or I'm going to build a ladder and I'm going to like figure out how to get over it.
Mm-hmm. Resourceful and strong.
Yeah. Yeah. And also just this belief that like there's nothing that's inhibiting her.
Damn. What about you, mom? What do you love most?
The thing that I love the most about Sophia is her honesty and her loyalty. Like, she's really loyal to people that she loves.
And to condoms, apparently. I love that you guys came on together.
Thank you for having us.
Oh my God. Brooke, you're wonderful. Thank you for hanging with us from Dallas. Sophia, thank you for hanging with us from Australia.
Oh man.
In the future.
Anytime.
Will you guys take us out? If it's not one thing,
it's your mother.
Thanks for listening, friends. If you like us, subscribe to Don't Tell My Mother on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and leave us a review and a rating. We live for your validation. Seriously, we are wounded people pleasers who did not get enough love from our parents. Follow us on Instagram at Don't Tell My Mother and at Nikki Levy for fun things and love in between episodes. Have a great week, and remember, our moms push our buttons because they're the ones who installed them. Mwah. Be good to yourselves.
Don't Tell My Mother is created, hosted, and executive produced by Nikki Levy, my daughter. The show is executive produced by John Cryer. Oh my God, I love him. And Lisa Joyner and Jody Zuckerman-Weiner at Discount Sushi. Our producer is Liza Glukoft. Co-producer, Andrew Condon. Mixed and edited by Donovan Bullen. Theme song by Donovan Bullen and Joe McKenzie. Distributed by Acast. Now go call your mothers.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.